Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I am here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Fantastic, man. Ready to jump into the cephalic phase of human digestion. So talk about a one-lining opener, right?
Yeah, just getting right to it. I love it.
This is something that you and I talk about indirectly pretty frequently with our clients and the people in the experience. And it's just family, friends. Like, this is one of the biggest underlying things that we see that either scares people off from fasting or doesn't allow people to stay consistent with it over time, or even give it really enough of a shot to see whether or not fasting is something that could help them in their life.
Yeah, it's almost like, no pun intended, but they get a little taste of the cephalic phase and get kind of scared away. They tend to think that it's just going to get worse, or you know, it's going to kind of compound from there. They can't really see themselves getting past it, but it actually gets easier, as we'll talk about.
Yeah. So let's frame it a little bit, because now we're getting, you know, 6 months into having a podcast, and not everybody that comes to us knows what the heck we do or who we are or where we came from. Right. So if this is the first time listening, or you've only been with us for a few episodes, recommend going back, listen to some of the older episodes, but also going to the website, thefastingforlife.com. thefastingforlife.com, download the Fast Start Guide. And that really gives you the 6 steps with a free little mini masterclass video training. It's about 20 minutes of deep dive, 6 steps to get and put fasting into your life starting today. And this is one of the things that would really be good for the people that have done that and kind of fallen off, or people that struggle with pushing the envelope or pushing those longer fasts. Because the cephalic phase is related specifically to hunger pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And the longer your fast, the more opportunities you're going to have to feel the effects of the cephalic phase, right? So you want to go into, you know, what that means?
Yeah, for sure. So this is, like we said, this is one of the things that like people struggle with and don't realize that they're struggling with it. But this is one of the reasons why it kicks you out of fasting, or you don't want to stick with it, or it's just, you don't enjoy it, especially if you've just started. Right. So I've been hearing this from my dad lately, like, man, the hunger, it's tough. And I'm like, okay, well, what'd you eat the day before? We'll talk about that. Well, what'd you do that day? What's your stress level? How's your sleep? All those different types of things. But really, when it comes down to just you feeling the hunger, people almost get like, man, I need to eat. And when we explain it from a physiological standpoint, not to get too nerdy or sciencey, but there's 3 phases of digestion. And the first phase is what's called the cephalic phase. And just, I'm going to say this really slowly. It's the stomach's response to the sight, smell, taste, or thought of food.
Yeah, it's literally the primer to the pump. It's literally your brain starts, whether it's smell or sight or thought, and then it's literally kicking the stomach in saying, let's get ready. Something's about to happen. We're about to have some food coming in. We need to be ready for this.
And your vagus nerve, which is, you know, the nerve that runs throughout the entire body, right? It controls a lot of the autonomic things you don't think about, heart rate, digestive processes, immune function. There's a sympathetic and a parasympathetic part to it, or an autonomic division. There's all these different subsets, right? But when we're talking about specifically for the cephalic phase, that nerve stimulates the motility and secretion of the parietal cells and the gastric cells. So it's literally telling your stomach, get ready for food when you either see it, smell it, taste it, or think about it. So that could be a problem if you're new to this or if you're trying to push the window on a longer fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a big problem because think about being new to this. You've never fasted before and you say, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And then you go into your first fast and you're used to, you know, you're still taking the same routes home from work. You're still walking into the same smells at home. You're still thinking about walking over to the fridge or grabbing your favorite snack or beverage or whatever it is during a certain time. Well, those cues are going to tell your brain, hey, this is what we normally do. Let's get ready. So while these habits are still strong and they're still deep, when you first get started, they're going to trigger very, very dramatically. And they're going to get the cephalic phase, you know, kicking into high gear really quickly.
Combine that with not drinking enough water when you first start fasting. Like, I can't tell you how important that is. So typically hunger a lot of times can also be hydration related. Mm-hmm. It's just your body telling you, hey, give me water, right? Like, I think about that old movie, Feed Me, Seymour, with the, what is it? I can't even think of it, with Rick Moranis, right?
Yeah, right.
Feed Me, Seymour. Like, I just hear that voice like, oh yeah, let me start with some water. You know, let me start with a little salt or trace minerals in the water. If that doesn't work, that typically will kick you out of that cephalic response. But it's really framing it, knowing that this is coming and that it's not really hunger, because people get fear. It kind of like fear comes into this solution, into this problem too, where it's like, man, I need to eat, or breakfast is the most important meal of the day, or I need to snack in between my meals to boost my metabolism. All those things of like fearing that you're doing something wrong, when you really just need to change the route on the way home, plan a project during dinner if you're not eating with the family that night, or be the chef that doesn't eat, right? No chef walks out into the restaurant after he puts down a plate and takes a bite.
Right.
You know, like, be the chef, right? Put on your chef hat. Or really, you know, think about the fact that this isn't a real thing, that you need food. It's just your body's hormonal response in your visual stimulation. So shut the TV off. You're watching sports on Sunday and you're trying to fast. You're going to see all the infomercials for the wings and the food. And that's what marketing is. It's to stimulate that response. And you feel it in the form of gurgling, growling stomachs.
Right. I mean, and we've talked about it a little bit. It can be as simple as like a mouthwash with a little bit of mint in there, or maybe some of them have some stevia to give them a little sweet kick. It can be as little as that. And as soon as those, you know, can hit your tongue, that can initiate the whole cascade here. But, you know, speaking more to your point of, you know, it's false advertisement in the body. It's telling you, okay, we're used to the cues. Let's get ready. Here we go. Food should be coming in. But, you know, if you're working on a fast, especially in the beginning, you don't necessarily need those calories right then. And let's get back to the math for a second. If you have 20 pounds of excess fat, that's 70,000 calories.
Wait, that slow your body down. Say that again. How many?
If you have 20 pounds of fat, 3,500 calories of 3,500 calories per pound of fat, that's literally 70,000 calories that you can tap into, but you're not ready yet. If you're just between meals right now, you haven't started fat burning, unless you're in ketosis already. So your body's using those sugar cues and it's still on the insulin roller coaster. It's giving you false signals right here.
I'm blown away by that number. I'm literally like floored. I backed away from the microphone.
Right. You tend to feel the cephalic phase more until you get into ketosis, until your insulin sensitivity starts to come back up. And over time, the dramatic effect of the cephalic phase gets less and less. That's why one of the reasons why it gets easier to fast over time.
Yeah. Your body reprograms itself. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's super smart. It knows what it's doing. But it also has built in survival mechanisms that sometimes we have to break down. So when you said 70,000, I thought, okay, typical standard weight loss program would be 300 caloric deficit or to 500 caloric deficit per day. So that's anywhere between 140 to 233 days of doing that to lose that 20 pounds. Well, no wonder why people give up you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks in. And that doesn't include the mistakes and the falling off the wagon and the beating yourself up for eating pizza when that you shouldn't be doing that because you ate it, you enjoyed it. Now move on. Right.
Right.
With that bad psychological kind of framework that's built into it, but that's 140 to 233 days where if you can just know and acknowledge that the cephalic phase isn't real, that it is, you probably need some water and that you can fight through it. You can get that weight loss with one meal a day in 30 days. Like total, like that's why when you said 70,000, like, wait a minute, let me do the math on that. Right. And I've done it. I mean, I lived it. That was my eat less, move more, calories in, calories out. We know that that's not true for long-term results, especially in people that have any type of metabolic issues when it comes to blood sugar related problems, insulin resistance, that's undiagnosed, the prediabetes, the millions of people that are in that category out there that can't figure out why they can't lose the weight and keep it off, you know? And the worst part is that your emotional side of this is where the reticular activating system comes in. And I was just thinking about this when you were talking about numbers, is if you've ever been driving or you get a new car and then you realize that everybody else in your town has the exact same car you do.
Right.
You're like, oh, wow, I've never seen a yellow. And then you're like, wait a minute, there's yellow cars everywhere. Like, how is this happening? Right. Yep. So the reticular activating system is this cool part of your brain where it'll tie in like a sight, a smell, an emotion to your experience. So you will remember the emotion and the smell of that time, which will put you back in that exact moment. So if you've done stress eating in the past, your body's going to be more apt when you see those cues or smell those smells to go right back into that habit because your reticular activating system is going to go, hey, yellow car, yellow car, yellow car. Like you're seeing it again. So knowing what your body is doing because the hormones are the master control is just going to give you so much more power in knowing I can get through this.
Yeah, it's kicking on because it makes sense. So the body loves having a storage of fat, and you know it'll keep storing the fat, you know, until it can eventually kill you, you know, but based on comorbidities later on in life, it will just keep doing it because it's saving it for a rainy day. And if it has access to more calories coming in all throughout the day, because you're used to eating three meals a day, a couple snacks in there too, it's just gonna keep piling it on as a survival mechanism. So, you know, it doesn't take that long to bring down the warning bells, bring down the cephalic phase for it to calm down and actually allow, you know, fat burning, which is what happens as you get into ketosis. And then it once it taps into those calories, it doesn't have as much of a reason to fire the alarms at any given, you know, sight of food.
And so when we talk cephalic phase, like it's a real physiological principle, but there's a lot of nuance and gray area in between how fasting works for an individual. So it's really figuring out what works for you, right? So you just gotta try and test and try and test. And we've had some conversations recently where it's like, yeah, I did my first 36 hour fast and it was awful. And I'm like, yeah, the first one was tough because you've never done it. It's like, okay, let me just go out and run a marathon.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're not talking just for the, you know, the nutritionist / gym people that like, you know, live in the gym and do the workouts and get the results. We're talking about the people that have struggled with getting the weight off and keeping it off. Right.
Right.
So it's like,
slowly
okay,
accumulating more and more over time.
Yeah. Yeah. So it hasn't been working. So it's like, all right, yeah, well, you've never done this. Everything else you have done hasn't worked. So yeah, there is going to be some, you know, some apprehension there, but once you get through it and you do it a few times, after that second week for me, I knew that OMAD plus, you know, one meal a day plus 24 hours plus was what my maintenance life was going to look like because it just simplified it for me to the point where I knew when I was going to have my lows and I knew that the cephalic phase and my reticular and all these different things were like pushing me back towards that old set point, those old habits. And I'm like, no, I know what's happening. And now I can just kind of push through and kind of almost reform that habit in a positive way to then not have to worry about those little subconscious fears and kind of stumbling blocks in the beginning.
Yeah. You know, at a certain point you kind of flip it on its head and then you get strategic with it. Right. Like I know I'm going to feel this way so I can get strategic. You know, like you said, put a project at certain times of the day, maybe it's right before mealtime or right afterwards, or, you know, becoming the chef. Those are all great actionable things. So me and Jen walked into a coffee shop actually this morning. I was fasting. She was not, and she was going to get a coffee. I ended up having a black coffee with just a little bit of creamer in it. But when I walked in there, it was actually a crepe and waffle and coffee place. It smelled amazing in there, and I was not prepared for when the cephalic phase actually kicked in. And she looked over at me a few minutes later. We were sitting there waiting for the coffee. It took a few extra minutes for some reason, but she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm just fighting off a little bit of nausea right now. I'll be okay." And it lasted for about 10 minutes. And then I got my coffee and it got a little bit better. We walked out and it subsided, but it probably took 10 or 15 minutes. But if that was day one for me, you know, fasting, that may have been a little frustrating or even concerning. But you know, today I didn't worry about it too much, but she could see it on my face though still.
Yeah. I'm thinking, well, it's taking a little bit longer just to torture you. Right. You're like, right. Why can I not just get my coffee and get out of this wonderful smelling place?
Yeah. And I almost just walked outside, but you know, I didn't, right. But you know, those are habits we develop over time.
As one of the things we like to say to land the plane, I'm thinking about, you know, action, like one action step that people can do in regards to the cephalic phase and the hunger pain, and kind of breaking through. And we've talked a lot about, you know, different things that we've done. I'm just thinking about my 2 to 3 o'clock, my 2 to 3:30 every day is my toughest part. And today we just happened to be recording this podcast during that time. So normally this would be a time where I struggle with it. Mm-hmm. I've had some black coffee, drank some water, talking to you, getting fired up about getting people to realize that it's not really hunger and it's kind of gone away. Right. So
yeah,
just
right.
A few minutes in, I'm like, oh yeah, it's gone. And I'm talking about the cephalic phase and food and it's not happening. So, right. Just thinking, Tommy, one thing that we can kind of put out there in terms of, an action step to kind of break through.
I mean, so refocus that energy. So it was designed to put you into food seeking behavior. It was designed to get you ready for food, to bring it in. Well, just know that it's coming, whether you're fasting or you're in between meals or you're in the middle of a window, whatever it is, an eating window, that is. Take that energy, that frustration, repurpose it. It's only temporary. But you know, use it to push through to the end of some new project. Plan out the rest of your week, do something with that energy and put it to good use. And, you know, by the time you think about it next in 10 or 15 minutes, it's probably going to be gone. You're going to be better off for it. And you're still going to be, you know, in the middle of that fast, you didn't break it and you're better off, than where you were 20 minutes ago.
Perfect. Love it. One last thing I would recommend for everyone listening, like I said earlier on, if this is the first few times you've listened to us, go back, listen to some of the earlier episodes, download the Fast Start Guide. We appreciate the conversation of fasting and the community of fasting. So go ahead on the Facebook, like our page, leave us a 5-star review. We prefer those. Any questions or comments, you can drop in there too. Tommy, as always, I appreciate you kind of diving into these topics with me and just, every time we talk, I'm always like, man, I can't believe that more people don't know about this. And that's exactly what we plan to do, is to tell and teach more, every single day.
Absolutely. Enjoying it. Thank you, sir.
Cool. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com. And sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.